Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Today is June 8th, 2019. We're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 16, entitled The Lord's Attempt to Go to Vrindavan, Texts 63 and 64. Say again? Oh, okay. Going through 64? Okay. I just received an email saying it was only 63 and 64, but we can go through from 51. So 51 through 64.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
No, it's okay. Radhi Eka, so we'll chant together. Radhi Eka Vipratenho Nityananda Dasa Mahabhagavanyanteno Nama Krishna Dasa. One Brahmana named Krishnadas, who was a resident of Radhadesh and a servant of Lord Nityananda's, was a very fortunate person. Gatabari Prabhura Tenho Abhishekha Kaila Tanra Abhishekhe Prabhu Mahatripta Haila. It was Krishnadas who filled a great water pot and poured it over the Lord while he was taking his bath. The Lord was greatly satisfied by this. Balagandhi Bogera Bahu Prasada Aila Sabha Sange Mahaprabhu Prasada Kaila. The remnants of food offered to the Lord at Balagandhi then arrived in great quantity, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his devotees ate it. Purport. This is in reference to Balagandhi. See Madhya Lila 13. Point 193, text 54. Purvavat rata yatra kaila darshana hera panchami yatra dekelana bhaktagana. As in the previous year, the Lord, with all his devotees, saw the Rata Yatra festival and the Hera Panchami festival as well. Text 55. Acharya Goshani Prabhura Kaila Nimantrana Taramadye Kaila Yache Hare Varshana. Advaita Acharya then extended an invitation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and there was a great rainstorm connected with that incident. Vistari Vanri Yachena Dasa Vrindavana Srivasa Prabhure Tabe Kailani Mantrana. All these episodes have been elaborately described by Srila Vrindavandas Thakur. Then one day, Srivas Thakur extended an invitation to the Lord. Purport. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antya Lila, Chapter 8, gives the following description. One day, Srila Dvaitacharya, having extended invitation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thought that if the Lord came alone, he would feed him to his great satisfaction. It then so happened that when the other sannyasis were going to Advaitacharya's to take lunch, there was a big rainstorm, and they could not reach his house. Thus, according to Advaitacharya's desires, Sri Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came alone and accepted the prasad. Prabhura Priya Vayangana Sabarandhina Mailini Bhakti Dasi Ami Mana Sehite Janani. The Lord's favorite vegetables were cooked by Mailini Devi, the wife of Srivas Thakur. She devotedly considered herself a maidservant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, but in affection, she was just like a mother. Acharya Ratna Adi Yakta Mukya Bhakta Gana Madhye Madhye Pabure Karena Nimantrana. All the chief devotees, headed by Chandrasekhar, Acharya Ratna, used to extend invitations to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu periodically. Chaturmasyadne puna nitya nande lamya kiva yukti kare nitya nibrite vasya. At the end of the 4-month Chaturmasya period, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again consulted with Nityananda Prabhu daily in a solitary place. No one could understand that what their consultation was about. Acharya Gosani Prabhuke Kahi Tari Tore Acharya Tarje Pade Keha Bhujite Napare. Then Srila Dvaitacharya said something to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through gestures and read some poetic passages which no one understood. Tanra mukha deki hase sachira nandana angikara jani acharya karena nartana. Seeing the face of Advaitacharya, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled. Understanding that the Lord had accepted the proposal, Advaitacharya started to dance. Kiba prarthana kiba agya kehana buhila Alingana Kari Prabhu Tanre Vidaya Dila. No one knew what Advaitacharya requested or what the Lord ordered. After embracing the Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade him farewell. Nityanande Kahi Prabhu Sunaha Sripada Eami Magitumi Karaha Prasada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told Nityananda Prabhu, "Please hear me, O holy man. I now request something of you. Kindly grant my request." So let's chant this verse responsively. This is text 64. Prati Varsha Nila Chale Tumi Na Asiba. Gauri Rahi Mora Icha Sapala Kariba. Prati Varsha Nila Chale Tumina Asiba. Gauri Rahi Mora Icha Sapala Kariba. Prati Varsha Nila Chale Tumina Asiba. Gauri Rahi Mora Icha Sapala Kariba. Please chant. Asiba.
Thank you.
Prativarsha.
Every year.
Nila Chale. To Jagannath Puri. To me. You. Na Asiba. Do not come. Gode Rahi. Staying in Bengal. Moraicha. My desire. Sapala. I'm sorry. Sapala Kariba. Make successful. Translation. Do not come to Jagannath Puri every year, but stay in Bengal and fulfill my desire. Please repeat. Do not come to Jagannath Puri every year. But stay in Bengal and fulfill my desire. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to spread the only medicine effective in this fallen age of Kali, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Following the orders of his mother, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing at Jagannath Puri, and the devotees were coming to see him. However, the Lord felt that this message must be spread very elaborately in Bengal, and in his absence, there was not a second person capable of doing it. Consequently, the Lord requested Nityananda Prabhu to stay there and broadcast the message of Krishna consciousness. The Lord also entrusted a similar preaching responsibility to Rupa and Sanatana. Nityananda Prabhu was requested not to come every year to Jagannath Puri, although seeing Lord Jagannath greatly benefits everyone. Does this mean that the Lord was refusing Nityananda Prabhu a fortunate opportunity? No. One who is a faithful servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must execute his order, even if one has to sacrifice going to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Jagannath there. In other words, it is a greater fortune to carry out Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order than to satisfy one's senses by seeing Lord Jagannath. Preaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult throughout the world is more important than staying in Vrindavan or Jagannath Puri for one's own personal satisfaction. Spreading Krishna consciousness is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Therefore, his sincere devotees must carry out his desire. Prithivite acheyata nagaradi grama sarvatra prachara haibe mora nama. The devotees of Lord Chaitanya must preach Krishna consciousness in every village and town in the world. That will satisfy the Lord. It is not that one should act whimsically for his own personal satisfaction. This order comes down through the parampara system, and the spiritual master presents these orders to the disciple so that he can spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is the duty of every disciple to carry out the order of the bona fide spiritual master and spread Lord Chaitanya's message all over the world. Do not come to Jagannath Puri every year, but stay in Bengal and fulfill my desire. So, in this pastime of Madhya Lila, the devotees in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are in Jagannath Puri, enjoying darshan of Lord Jagannath, sharing prasadam together, having intimate conversations, doing Harinam. And at this point in the pastime, there are some very intimate conversations between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaitacharya Prabhu, and then Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu wants to stay in the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking that he go back to Bengal and to carry on Harinam Sankirtan there and spread Krishna consciousness there. And in the purport, the very first thing that Srila Prabhupada says is that It's the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread Krishna consciousness and the Maha Mantra. And then we hear towards the end of the purport that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya must preach Krishna consciousness in every village and town in the world. And this was the instruction that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave to Srila Prabhupada, which is the very reason that we're all sitting here today. And so it's also mentioned in the purport that this is some sacrifice, that who would not want to sit and have the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri? And that in a sense, that it may be one's desire to have that darshan, but also there is the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and perhaps the instruction of our spiritual master. And how does our desire fit in with the instruction of the spiritual master's desire and that of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So I was thinking that in the material world, the instructions of the spiritual master may appear to be a sacrifice to us. But by making that sacrifice, we're not really losing anything. We're gaining everything. And so sacrifice is yajna. So the sacrifice recommended for Kali Yuga is the Sankirtan yajna, the chanting of the holy names of Hare Krishna. And through this yajna, through this sacrifice, and whatever place that we may find ourselves, if we perform the sacrifice, we'll become happy, we'll become fully satisfied, and we'll become Krishna conscious. So how does our desire fit in with the desires of the spiritual master and of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to perform this sacrifice? So I was thinking of my path to Krishna consciousness and how initially I met the devotees in Gainesville. And it kind of reminded me of this pastime where all of the devotees are together with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performing Harinam Sankirtan, and how blissful that experience is. And when I met the devotees, that was a very similar experience I had, that I could have some daily contact with devotees and perform what at the time I thought was a pure form of devotional service on a daily basis, constantly in the association of devotees, always able to go to the temple, able to go to the morning program regularly, able to do Harinam regularly, always able to make the festivals and the Rathayatras, able to go out on book distribution with large number of devotees who were inspiring to me, always able to take prasadam offered to the deities, and always to share some pastime, some Krishna katha on a daily basis with devotees. This is what built my faith in Krishna consciousness. This is what was so inspiring to me that I started to chant Hare Krishna on a daily basis. And I was thinking at the time that it would always be like this and that I always wanted it to be like this. And I didn't at the time see, so the sacrifices that were suggested to me at the time were to become vegetarian, to give up intoxication, to live a celibate life. And these were the sacrifices, these are the things that I was thinking at the time were great sacrifices. But the more association I had with devotees, the more these things just became a natural way of life, and the more they became more in the background and not something I had to so consciously endeavor to do, to stay sober, to be vegetarian. It just became very natural and very blissful just by being in the association of devotees. So after about maybe 1 year, 1.5 years of having this very close association with devotees, my material life was arranged in such a way that my term of research had ended. And so I had to move to continue my education to Tallahassee. But fortunate enough, in Tallahassee, there is a temple there. And I met my very good friend, Nam Kirtan Prabhu, who's the current temple president there. But at the time, there was a different temple president, and I became very close to him, and I was able to go to a program maybe once or twice at most a week. But I was so engaged in my work at the time. And I was working like 80 to 100 hours a week. I wasn't able to go to like a Krishna lunch or a temple program on a daily basis. I wasn't able to make all the festivals because I was working 6, sometimes 7 days a week. And so I was not wanting to do that. I was questioning, really, what should I do? Is this the right path for me? Should I continue with my material education? Or should I do something different? You know, this was kind of the easy path. It was just kind of coming to me. Okay, the next thing is, you know, I have this research. The next thing is, okay, I have to finish my degree. Then after that, I'm gonna be able to get a job. And this is kind of the karma that was just coming to me very simply without me working to make any like strong endeavor for that. So I made a trip to India, and I had met Radhanath Maharaj while I was living in Gainesville, and he invited me to come to see him in India, in Chaupati. So it's my first trip to India. And so I was very nervous. I wasn't initiated, and I'd never been to India. And so I was again enlivened for 2 weeks while I was staying in Chaupati temple, chanting in the Association of Devotees. And I had already taken up the regular process of chanting 16 rounds daily. But I found that when I was with devotees able to chant in the temple in the morning, it was so much easier and it was so much more fun for me. So I was thinking, you know, what can I ask? I didn't have a spiritual master. I was very connected to Srila Prabhupada and his teachings, and I was trying to follow them very closely as best I can, but I didn't have a spiritual master at the time. So I was thinking, what can I ask? You know, I was so respectful and in awe of Radhanath Maharaj, I didn't quite know when I was in his association what to say. So I was praying every morning to the deities, you know, like, how do I act? How do I behave? What do I say? What, you know, what should I do? So I thought, what should I be doing? You know, what is my service? So this is one of the questions I asked to Radhanath Maharaj, and I was thinking I was going to get some elaborate answer of renunciation and, you know, what I thought was a pure form of Krishna consciousness. You know, not working on the outside, what you hear some devotees say. No, you work on the outside. No, I was thinking, I want to be on the inside. So I was thinking I was going to get some answer, like, how can I get on the inside? And I was Bhakta Frank at the time, you know, I was very new. So Radhanath Maharaj knew my situation, and so I asked him, you know, what is my service to Krishna? I thought that was, if I could know what that was, then I would be okay. My mind would be settled, and I could go on with my life. So he said, you should continue to study, and when you're finished with your education, and you can work, you should work for Krishna. He said something like that. And I was blown away by this, because this is not what I was hearing from some other devotees. And I was really starting to believe that I was on some path like that was that wasn't the highest form of Krishna consciousness, and I needed to make a big change. I thought I needed to endeavor harder to do something differently. Instead of knowing my own nature and following the path that Krishna has set before me and offering that path to Krishna, that offering that all of the result of my work and my work itself, and I was thinking, well, it may be higher to try to arrange my life in such a way that I could be doing direct devotional service and not seeing that actually, no, I could... It's actually better for me to stay in my position, because it was coming to me in a very natural way, and to arrange my life in such a way that I can still practice devotional service, but I could do my work for Krishna. And so I was enlivened by this trip to India, and I came back to Tallahassee, and I was able to finish my education there. Very, very interestingly, I'll also share this this one experience I had. Sometimes you have to work. It's very nice to wake up in the morning and chant Hare Krishna. It's the easiest time, and I've really experienced this. It's the most peaceful. The people you see on the street in the morning are usually in the mode of goodness. And it's just the hour of, it's just those very first mornings before sunrise. The mind is the most peaceful that it can be during the day, and it's very easy to chant. So I had to work. Sometimes I had to work at night, and for 2 weeks, just, you know, sleeping during the day, going to work at night. And I was just thinking, like, it's going to be impossible for me to chant 16 rounds with a schedule like this. So I just decided, you know, I tried to think, okay, this is my situation. What is the best way that I can make time to chant Hare Krishna and get all my rounds done? How can I arrange the way my situation is now so that I can chant all of my rounds? So I would get home from work around 9 or 10 a.m. and I would chant from 9:30 or 10, and I would finish all my rounds in the morning after working all night. And I can tell you that every time I had to work nights for 2 weeks, I chanted every morning when I got home from work and then I went to sleep. And those were some of the best rounds that I can recall chanting while I was in Tallahassee. It was so blissful, and it was so easy, and it was so counterintuitive to what I thought it would be like. But I tried to arrange my life at the time in such a way that I could still make chanting Hare Krishna a priority. So then, after I finished from Tallahassee, I had to shift again, and I was really hoping that I would be able to get back to Gainesville, but I wasn't. My next shift was to Jacksonville, and there's no temple in Jacksonville, and there's no regular program in Jacksonville. There's no Krishna lunch like there is in Tallahassee. There's Harinams. There's Ratha Yatra. I met two devotees who were very dear to me because they inspired me and helped me survive in Jacksonville for the time I lived there. Godrum Prabhu and Mother Vishnu Priya. And also my dear friend Bhakti Mit Prabhu. And so I was thinking, now what? You know, I'm in Tallahassee, and there's a temple, and at least I'm able to, you know, come to class, come to temple sometimes. And now I'm going to Jacksonville, and there's really minimal opportunity for me to associate with devotees. So with that, I made some arrangement that I would, on the weekends, I came to Gainesville. Every Friday night after work, I would drive to Gainesville, and I would sleep in the Krishna house, usually on the floor, somewhere. And in the morning, on Saturday morning, I would come here, and I would do deity seva and come to the morning program every Saturday for like 2 years. And at my home, I started to invite people to come to my house because I was having so much trouble making an arrangement to go somewhere to practice Krishna consciousness. I just thought, well, I'll just invite everybody here because I have such limited time. So I started a bhakti riksha. And I had never done anything like that. I had first initiation, so I knew something about Krishna consciousness. But this was really far out, to invite strangers to my house and to cook prasadam for them, to give the Bhagavad Gita discourse, to be leading the kirtan. Unfortunately, like I said, there were some devotees there who could give me guidance and assist me with that, and help me with those things. But, you know, I was thinking, this was like high anxiety for me. This is not really, if you know me, this is not really my nature, if you really know me. I prefer to be kind of like the python that we'll talk about, just kind of there, sitting there quiet and not trying to disturb anyone or anything, and just be to myself. That's like my preference, to be a little bit on the introverted side. So to start advertising and giving handouts for, you know, for a program at my home was a lot for me. But I can tell you by doing that, and that was the guidance that had been given to me from my guru at the time. You know, he had come there and he had done the first sort of college preaching program there. And so I was trying to assist him with his preaching mission, which was to assist Srila Prabhupada with his preaching mission, which was to follow the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we're hearing today from 500 years ago. So I had this bhakti, I started this bhakti riksha. I thought, well, who can I invite to this? So I had some friends who were vegan. So I just invited all these vegetarians and vegans to my home. And it was quite challenging. I mean, some of the challenges of being there and kind of being new and green to Krishna consciousness, but being kind of the representative, so to speak. You know, many of these people had never met somebody who was practicing Krishna consciousness. They had never heard of Bhagavad Gita. So I thought that this is a big responsibility. And one of the challenges for me was trying to, in some way, control, if you will, the class, because there weren't many devotees there to kind of be supportive. So when you're on the asana, like many times Srila Prabhupada, when he would preach, and there would be someone in the crowd who would just be very challenging, or just say some nonsense, and to see how Srila Prabhupada would deal with these in a very tactful way, in a way that he was not crushing this person so much so that they would not be able to gain some insight and some knowledge, but at the same time, not letting things get out of control. So that was one of the challenges I had to very tactfully learn how to sort of control the class. And so I started to get more into Prabhupada's books and his public speaking to kind of learn, like, how can I share Krishna consciousness with everyone? Because everyone is different, and so everyone is at a different place in their life spiritually, and how can I share this message of chanting Hare Krishna that's universal with so many different types of people? And then learning from Srila Prabhupada and seeing how he preached in many different situations, in many different circumstances, to many different types of people, to people who were highly educated, to people who were completely uneducated, to people who were intoxicated, completely intoxicated and crazy. How Srila Prabhupada, coming from Vrindavan when he was so peaceful, doing his bhajan, writing, reading, and constantly being the association in Vrindavan, how could he leave to come to New York City, which is where I actually grew up, and not only in New York City, but on the East Side, which was like the most insane and crazy place within the city, possibly within the entire world, you know, full of poverty, derelicts, drug alcoholics and drug abusers, and then start the Hare Krishna movement there, seemingly in the most hellish place on the planet, was truly inspiring to me. And my experience is merely just a sort of a fraction of the sacrifice that Srila Prabhupada had to make. But really, seeing how he spread Krishna consciousness and he stayed attached to Krishna really inspired me and my own path to follow the instructions of my spiritual master and try to understand what is the best way to share Krishna consciousness with others of all types of people from all different religions and all different lifestyles and all different places in their own education. So one of the things I learned having this experience, actually I didn't realize it until I moved back to Gainesville, finally. After living in Jacksonville for 2 years, I became so attached to my service. I wanted to live in Gainesville. I didn't want to be back in Jacksonville, but I became so enlivened from performing Harinam Sankirtan, from the Sankirtan Yajna, you know, Bhakti Riksha every Tuesday or whatever day it was, and then the college preaching program every Thursday, And then, you know, Harinams sometimes coming back on the weekends to do my Didi Seva here, going to the Harinams and the Ratayatras in Jacksonville. I became so attached to that service, one that I really thought was a sacrifice at the time, that when I actually was forced in a way to move, to leave Jacksonville. I got fired from my job, just like boom. Totally unexpected. I never thought in my life that I would be terminated from a job. You know how you hear like that people have this opportunity many times, like whatever the situation was, then the employer somehow lets them retire or lets them leave so that they can save their name? I had no such opportunity. Termination. I walked into my desk one day, there was an envelope there, and I knew what was in the envelope. It was a termination letter. You know, you have X number of days, you know, left here, sort of a thing. And I was in crisis, you know, because I had imagined like my life in Jacksonville, like how the preaching mission would be advanced and how I was going to be a part of that, you know, and this was sort of my Kanishna mentality. And so I had to go somewhere. So I wanted to stay in Jacksonville. So I looked for all these jobs. I was looking so hard. You know, I had these connections and I was having job interviews. And it was like nothing was easy. And everything that I got, it was always some like, I don't know, this doesn't feel right, you know, it's just. And so I had some connection with a professor here, and it was just like, just happened to be that time of the year. Every year, this professor would eat my research professor from when I lived here, 2 years before. Every year, to renew his grant, he had to find out what we were doing, if we were still doing research. So just happened to be that time of the year, and he sent me the email, and I replied. I'm like, you know, what am I doing? I just got fired, and I'm looking for a job, and I don't know what to do, but it would be nice to do research, but right now I need a job. So he replied to me immediately. He said, I sent your CV to the chair of family medicine here in Gainesville. Immediately the chair, I mean, this is all literally within 24 to 48 hours. Immediately that chair replied to me, and then again, within 24 hours, I'm on the phone with the chair of family medicine here. Oh, do you want to interview? Yeah, I mean, I think I could interview. Well, how about next week? Next week. Wow. So I came here. Long story short, I had an interview. I liked the job. I didn't know what to do. I still didn't want to. I wasn't totally sure, but I consulted with my guru and my Shiksha gurus and my close friends. And ended up that I moved back to Gainesville, and I've been here ever since 2013. But I can tell you what the shift was for me in my own practice of Krishna consciousness and the Sankirtan Yajna. I liked being in a place where, after a couple of years, I started to really be in the mentality of, you know, of preaching. To others, and being sort of not independent, but dependent on my guru and the message of Krishna consciousness, but having a lot of opportunities, so many, infinite number of opportunities in a place where there's not a lot of preaching going on. And when I came back to Gainesville, now there were so many preachers, there were so many programs. Like, how do I fit in? How do I really fit in? So before, when I was thinking, how am I going to leave Gainesville? You know, there's so many programs. There's so many opportunities to have wonderful prasadam. So many opportunities to do Harinam. And now I'm coming back to Gainesville. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I mean, everything's set up already. Now I have to try to fit myself in somewhere. And so again, this is my Kanishna mentality. That Krishna is only in the temple. That really the purest form of Krishna consciousness is only on the inside. But what I had learned is that no, Krishna is everywhere. And that sometimes it may seem like a sacrifice to follow the order of the spiritual master, but it's not. We gain everything. We gain our Krishna consciousness that way. And so just like Nityananda Prabhu is being asked to go to Bengal to preach, to leave the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and leave the association of Lord Jagannath, sometimes we are going to be asked in our lives. We may think that it's always going to be like this. And sometimes Krishna may show us that you're not who you think you are. You know, I started to think that I was the one that was the leader there, and I was the one that was doing the preaching and leading these new programs. And so one of the best things that Krishna could have done for me was to remove me. And the way that you know sometimes that it's Krishna is because it happens in such a way that it's startling. I mean, it really gets your attention. When Krishna takes something away from you that you are really attached to, there's really no better way to get someone's attention besides taking something away from them that they're super attached to. And so I thought it was a good thing to be attached to Krishna consciousness, but I was really attached in a way, in a true way, but also in a false way. My false ego was attached to that name and that fame of being the main one there. And so one of the best things he could have done, Krishna, was remove me from that situation, because it really made me look on the inside and see, like, what is my service to Krishna? You know? There was that thought that things would collapse if I left, you know? It's always there, because the false ego is there. But because of Krishna consciousness, I could see what my real purpose was. I mean, what I was doing there was I was just continuing Lord Chaitanya's movement. I wasn't starting anything new, and I wasn't really leading anything. I was just a facilitator. And so anyone who's Krishna consciousness can do the same service. And so very fortunate that I could see how important that preaching in Jacksonville was to Krishna. I could see how important that was to him, because after I left, he had sent my god sister there, this very special devotee, Amrita Kaili Prabhu, who has done something amazing with that preaching program in Jacksonville. And that's how I could see that this program and this mission was important to Krishna, because he immediately continued it. And then I really felt like Krishna really cared about me, because I could see that he's just engaging me in the service of the devotees. And if I could keep that consciousness no matter where I am or when I am, or quote unquote who I am, what I'm doing, if I'm a physician, or if I'm, you know, we think that there are different jobs that are better than other jobs, but they're not. They're all quite equal, because at any moment we may lose our material position. At any moment we could go from, you know, environmental services to something that you think materially is wonderful. We could get an inheritance or what have you, or we could be in a position that materially people think is very high, you know, like, for example, a physician, and then Krishna can take all of that away from you immediately. And is that really who I am? Is that really my identity? And so I've learned from Krishna consciousness and from the devotees and from shifting from place to place over time that no, this is not my true identity. My true identity is to be part and parcel of Krishna. And when I follow the orders of the spiritual master, which sometimes seem like a sacrifice to me, that actually I gain everything. I gain knowledge of myself, who I am, and it strengthens my relationship with Srila Prabhupada and with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and with Krishna. So I should not be discouraged no matter where I am materially, how much sacrifice I need to make on a daily basis, or if I seemingly think that that sacrifice has been increased. I should see, you know, am I trying to over-endeavor to change what I'm doing to serve Krishna, or are things kind of coming naturally to me? And if things are kind of coming naturally to me, then it, just by the very word, it might be my nature. And one of the things we can know what our nature is and how we can best serve Krishna is by having a spiritual master. Because the spiritual master helps teach us how to practically apply these very esoteric and deep meanings in the sastra in our lives. Because like I said, with preaching, everybody's an individual and everybody's at a different place spiritually and everyone's at a different place materially. So how is it that we can apply this knowledge in our life? And that's how the spiritual master, the personal living form of the spiritual master, can connect us with Krishna. And if I didn't have that person to go to, or that person to see their living example, you know, I don't think I would have been able to stay in the Hare Krishna movement myself, just knowing myself. I would like to say that I can learn directly by hearing from Srila Prabhupada's books because he's a pure devotee, and that I could read his books and see his example and practically apply that. I would like to think that I could do that. But me personally, I really need a person to connect me to Srila Prabhupada. And so when we're uncertain, if we're over-endeavoring, if we're uncertain of why we've lost something that we think is so important to us or that we're so attached to, or when we're uncertain of what our service is to Krishna, it's those times that we can consult our living spiritual master, our Diksha Guru, and find what is our nature, to help us see what our nature is. And if we don't have that, then we have so many Shiksha Gurus, so many devotees that we can develop that personal connection with, and that they can show us how to follow the principles that Srila Prabhupada has given us in all of his books. And so I'll end there and ask for any questions or comments on these verses and everything we spoke about. Yes, Prabhu.
I was thinking, the gift of conviction and determination is synonyms to our endeavor. While I was hearing you, that inner connection, because I understood from your practical Krishna conscious life, that your inner connection was so good that you adjusted outside, even though apparently so many things, even you had a desire or so many things happened in Tallahassee or Jacksonville, lost your job, all these things. But some or other you had a deep inner journey to please Krishna, to please Guru, through Guru. That probably kept you alive and you're still flourishing that way. I feel like it's very instructive, very nice. So I think this is very nice because Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavatam introduction, he ended on that verse of Brahmaji's discussion, Sthane Stita Sruti Gatam Tanuma Panavi. Wherever you are, stay there. You don't have to. But inner journey has to go on, hearing Krishna with the association of devotee. So that you are doing, it appears like what you say. But then you adjusted everything, looks like. Wonderful journey. Thank you. That was very nice.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, I had, there were some verses I wanted to cover in Bhagavad Gita, but I didn't get to them. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about sacrifice and he's Yajna Purusha. So he's the personal beneficiary and enjoyer of all sacrifices. And so as long as we're in a material body, we have to do some work. There's no doubt about that. But if we make this activity, all the activities that we do as an offering to Krishna, then we will be satisfied and Krishna will be satisfied and we'll gain knowledge of how to practice Krishna consciousness. And so there's this idea that, you know, that it's higher to be detached, to have, so what are we really detached from? Are we detached from material things? For what purpose? Are we detached from material things to have the opulence of renunciation? Or are we detached from material things because we're attached to Krishna and to spiritual activities? And so this is the, in the pastime in Uddhava Gita, where the Avadhut Brahmin is explaining to Maharaj Yadu the teachings of his nine gurus. The first one is the python. The python is still, so seemingly he's detached. But in the purport, Prabhupada says that it's yukta vairagya, that everything that we have we're offering to Krishna, and that Krishna is maintaining us. It's not the falgu vairagya, this false attachment. And so the way that we're attached and that we offer everything to Krishna, the sacrifice is the Harinam Sankirtan Yajna. So whatever situation we're in, we need some inspiration, we need some source of faith, and that's the devotees. But we don't have to really give anything up, so to speak. We just become attached to these, you know, joyful activities, and then all those other things that we think that we can give up, they just disappear, because they lose their meaning, they lose their value. Our anarthas. And so that's the perfection of renunciation, is to be attached to Krishna. And by having the association of devotees, we need that association. So it's not that we should never go to Vrindavan. We should go there to get energized, to see how devotional service in its like all of its glory. But we can bring that back here, and we can share that with people in the West, because they don't even, I mean, I didn't even know that existed. I was 28 years old and I had never heard Bhagavad Gita. Could you imagine that? There are so many people walking around in the West who have never heard the name Krishna. I didn't hear the word Krishna until I was that, you know. So I think that it's so sad. So just think, whenever you go out and you share Krishna consciousness with someone, don't think it's insignificant. Just because someone doesn't take a book, or someone, you know, is disgruntled with their own situation, don't ever take that personally, because you've helped that person in some way. I mean, and you've all helped me so much. I'm very grateful for that. The Hare Krishnas. Does anyone else have any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, thank you for telling us your own journey. It really helps to internalize what's going on in our own lives. And I was, while you were describing how you went to different places and you always kept your faith, I was contemplating where's the point where somebody loses faith? You know, many devotees kind of, there are some devotees that have lost faith, you know, over the last 45 years or so, as long as the Hare Krishna movement has been existing in the West. So where is that point where somebody loses the faith, and why is it, and how can one prevent, or how can one see that and help these devotees, like, to come back? Because you somehow you always kept up this string, you know, to be connected to, you know, to keep up your faith. You always kept the faith inside, deep inside in the heart. So how is it that one can actually jump out of that and become a Christian or something else, you know?
So I heard two questions. We'll end with this question. So I heard two questions. One, how is it that someone can lose their faith? And then how is it that we can help that person, basically? I think that Krishna tests us and challenges us in order to show us where we are spiritually. Because when everything is great and you're kind of just humming along, I mean, for me, I know I become complacent. I mean, I think I'm the doer. I think that it's always going to be like this. And I start to forget gradually, you know, why am I doing this? How did I get here? And so I think that Krishna gives us little challenges to kind of show us how much faith we have. And sometimes they're small and sometimes they're very big. So, you know, a very big challenge, we may lose our faith for whatever reason. And the reason why is because we forget that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we think that, you know, he's doing this to us rather than this is something that's happening because of something I've done in the past. That right now, all of the wonderful things I have and all of the terrible things I have are from activities I've done in the last life or many lives. You know, I'm not getting this job with this pay now because I worked so hard now. I think because I'm in school and I'm studying so hard and I have this intelligence and I'm smarter than everybody that I earned this degree. Now, no. All of this that we're experiencing, so all of these struggles and challenges are from the past. So we need to have an understanding of that. And we can't have an understanding of that without experiencing the challenge in Krishna consciousness. So somebody who doesn't have Krishna consciousness, they don't really know exactly why these bad things are happening, you know? They're just riding the waves of material existence, you know? They just think, well, if I hold out long enough, you know, it'll get better. And Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, for those of us that need to hear that. If I hang out, you know, hold on long enough, eventually it's gonna go away and it's gonna get better. But how do I really advance through that experience? And so that's the question. So why it happens to us, we know. But how do we advance through that challenge? And that's by remaining in the association of devotees, always. No matter how difficult it gets or how seemingly hard it is. And so that was the answer to the first question. And so if somebody leaves, how can we help them? Sometimes the best way to help somebody is to just leave the door open. You know, it's like the story of the prodigal son. If you just allow the opportunity for the person to come back, when they're ready, they know that you're there. And Srila Prabhupada has done this many, many, many times. The one that I remember the strongest is that there was some situation and somebody said something to the devotee who had left, and Prabhupada said, why did you do that? You're going to make it so hard for him to come back, right? So sometimes that is the best thing for someone who's left. We need to at least realize that. I mean, sometimes the person, we can actively engage with them in some way and share Krishna consciousness with them, but sometimes they're so inimical that we have to know that. We can't make it harder for them to come back. I mean, we have good intentions. We want the devotee to come back, of course. But we have to see that sometimes, you know, the best way to help that person is just to let them know that the line of communication is open and not break the line of communication, because that would make it the hardest for them to come back when they're ready. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Gaura Premanandi.